It is February, and more people around the state and country are realizing the importance of Wisconsin's Supreme Court race this spring. There are four candidates running, and the primary election on February 21st will determine which two advance to the general election in April. Here and now, senior political reporter Zach Schultz continues our series of interviews with the candidates, this week with Everett Mitchell, a Dane County Circuit Court judge.
Give me a sense of your judicial philosophy, if it can be boiled down.
Well, I think for the most part, my judicial philosophy is kind of rooted in two pieces. One, it is an understanding of a living document, so that the way we view the Constitution really is about making sure that we look at it to expand and cover the current issues that we do, and that the current issues that we will encounter as a future generation. And I think our Constitution was written to be able to give us the flexibility to be able to expand that. But if there are times when I think you need to have like what I call a bifocal approach, where you need to be able to understand the original intent of the Constitution, but don't let that original intent stop you from being able to expand it to include some of the things that are important for our state moving forward. And it's that living Constitution perspective as a judge that allows for, you know, flexibility when making decisions that impact everyday Wisconsinites.
When a strict constructionist or a constitutional originalist will hear that, they'll say, well, that allows you to bring your politics. That allows you to read into the Constitution what you want to. How do you respond to that?
I'll say that is not, that's really not given. I mean, we have amendments for a reason. I didn't make up amendments. We have a whole bunch of amendments that allowed for them to expand the kinds of things that our Constitution did not envision. It didn't envision women voting. It did not envision Black people who were enslaved being free. It did not envision access to certain voting rights. It didn't envision all those things. So, then if we only reflected on the strict constitutionalism, it's almost as though you're going to disregard all those other amendments that have allowed for our communities to evolve and continue to meet the needs where we see people meet. So it's not disregarding. It is actually embracing what the spirit of the Constitution was meant. And that's why we were able to have all those amendments to give access to things that the original intent and original framers did not give access to.
Justice Lewis Butler was the first African-American man to serve in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And when he ran for re-election, he faced one of the most racist campaigns we've ever seen launched against a justice.
Probably what, the first?
What have you learned from him and what preparing for this race for you?
Well, one, I think I've spent a lot of time thinking about, well, first of all, he's endorsed me. So I listened to him. I learned from him. I talked to him about what things he would have done differently at that time. And really, as a judicial career, I spent a lot of time investing in the things that make hearts matter. You know, making sure that we're clear about our message with our young people, ensuring that we are, you know, focused on the right messaging in communities, and then being transparent with people. Because, you know, having conversations about race, having conversations about the things that really do incarcerate the minds and imaginations of so many different people who have been affected by racist cultures really allows for me then to be able to have those conversations. And I think Justice Butler at that time, you know, he was getting hit with something nobody had ever been done before, the darkening of skin, the tones. And so I've had great conversations with helping, you know, many members of our community for years, really helping them understand that all of us have been programmed with this super predator myth. And anytime they want to scare majority white individuals in our communities, all they do is darken skin, play some undertones, and it sends people back to the 80s and 90s when they were programmed every night to think about young Black men as dangerous. And it sits in our subconscious. So for me, it's explaining to people, you have a choice. You don't have to continue to let that ruin your subconscious, or you can listen to who people are and not let TV ads scare you into believing that the person can't represent your particular interests.
When you compare what Justice Butler went through to what we saw last year in the U.S. Senate race with Mandela Barnes, has there been a change? And what can you learn from that race just last year?
Again, I think you go back to that same, you know, same perception, right? This idea, what makes you dangerous, what makes you afraid, and people will make things up in order to create that. It's really up to Wisconsinites and all people, really, to say, you know, we're not going to allow these kinds of images to deter us from understanding who people are, listening to their ideas, listening to their concerns, and making our decisions based on that. I think we've learned a lot from that. I think, you know, watching the Mandela race is a reminder that these attacks are still out there. But I also say the same thing about Wisconsin. We elected Obama twice. And so this narrative can be broken because we broke it twice. And we broke it to elect, you know, our first, you know, African-American president, and Wisconsin was the ones who gave him that victory twice. So, yes, we have that history, but we also have a history of being progressive on ideas and using character as opposed to color to define who individuals are.
What do you think of the other candidates in this race? Are you running against them in the primary? Are you trying to distinguish yourself as, you know, one of the two so-called liberals versus two conservatives?
I think what defines me differently is that we're all going to have our values that make difference, right? You, former prosecutors, elected as judges, you know, committed to the, you know, rule of law. What differentiates me between them is my leadership off both on the bench and off the bench. You know, rather using my voice and my power of the black robe to, you know, take handcuffs off of children to make it more fair, or, you know, the rules to CCAP so that we can remove CCAP and remove, you know, people who've been charged and been dismissed, or evictions that have been dismissed. In fact, I just found out that UW Law School created an app that allows for people to more easily get those charges that they've been found out guilty of, or those evictions off of their CCAP record even easier. So now people actually have an easy access. But if I had never made that motion and fought for that then, we wouldn't be these many years later being able to give relief to so many Wisconsinites. So it's those kind of actions and those kind of values that really differentiate me from the rest of the field of individuals who are there, because I'm really trying to make sure that the system is fair, and none of this stuff about talking about I'm going to be fair, because it's not fair. And there's a whole bunch of inequality built into the system, but it's our job as judges to ensure that those who come before us do receive due process in a fair and balanced way, and that we're not just simply repeating or redoing the system that sometimes can oppress and hurt those that are there in front of us.
One of the phrases that gets tossed around a lot is the judicial activism. What does that mean to you? Does it have a meaning that you think most people can agree on?
I think it just basically means that judges are involving themselves in creating legislation from the bench, that they are not just following the, you know, rule of law, but they're actually taking a more proactive stance in their rulings to impact decisions that are being made. So, you know, an example of a judicial activism in some ways is the, you know, the Roe decision, the overturning of Roe, because in many ways they were asking for and doing something that the world wasn't really asking for. It was a conservative group that's an act of what I thought was an act of conservative activism. So judicial activism really is that, is, you know, legislation and creating legislation from your decision, which is kind of interesting. Because in many ways, if anybody's ever been a circuit court judge, you're always asked to make decisions for which there are no answers, both in statute or case law. And so you have to be active, you know, in creating fairness. You have to be active in creating just outcomes for people. You have to be active in the community, you know, to make reforms to make our community better. And so, you know, that's, in many ways, it's a political term that's meant to distract us away from the roles that judges really, everyday judges really do, because they're not, it's not always defined clearly what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to rule and make these decisions.
This is going to be one of the most highly anticipated Supreme Court elections in the state's history. Are you getting that sense from people you're talking to that they understand the magnitude, the fact that there are a lot of people outside of Wisconsin paying attention to the significance of this race?
I think they are. But you got to understand, a lot of Wisconsinites, you know, are still struggling with inflation, you know, jobs and joblessness and rents that are skyrocketing. I mean, how much it costs to get a carton of eggs now? I mean, it used to be go to Quick Trip and you'd be able to get something for 99 cents. Those days are gone. So I think the everyday struggles that a lot of Wisconsinites are facing, that's what I've heard when I travel throughout the state, is really sucking up that energy. And I think as we kind of turn more toward February, it'll give us more ability for people to say, okay, well, how does this matter to me? How is that? I think if a campaign is effective, and I think we've been effective in many different places, helping people understand that court systems have a direct impact on your life. How does it impact you? Well, you felt that in November with gerrymandering. How does it impact you? You feel it with incarceration and the impact of incarceration has on minority communities. How does it impact you? Well, the Supreme Court is reviewing ICWA, Indian Child Welfare Act, and its potential impact on our Native and Indigenous communities. Translating the need for having people who understand the world of issues that so many Wisconsinites feel is going to be important to getting people to understand why this race is important and significant.